great to see all of you here tonight in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verses 1 through 6 for this evening. For centuries, dreamers and philosophers have spoken of a utopia or a golden age on the earth, a time where there will be peace and a time where there will be prosperity. And those dreams will someday be fulfilled when Jesus Christ returns to the earth. And for this evening, what we are going to look at is verses 1 through 6. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up there and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished, that after these things he must be released for a little while. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshiped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. They lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. One of the things that we've been studying in our studies of the book of Revelation is a time that is known from the Latin word millennium. We don't see that word in the scripture, but it is referred to when it's referring to the 1,000-year reign of Christ upon the earth. Now, for all creation, according to the Living Bible, in the book of Romans, we see these words that are penned in Romans chapter 8, verses 19 through 22. And I'm reading from the Living Bible. For all creation is waiting patiently and hopefully for that future day when God will resurrect his children. For on that day, thorns and thistles, sin, death, and decay, the things that overcame the world against its will at God's command, will all disappear, and the world around us will share in the glorious freedom from sin which God's children enjoy. For we know that even the things of nature, like animals and plants, suffer in sickness and death as they await this great event. And so no one needs to be convinced that the world is filled with death and decay, because we certainly see that everywhere that we turn. Well, some six times in those seven verses here in chapter 7, and I didn't go ahead and read the seventh, but the seventh says, now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison. And we see in verse 2 of chapter 20, the length of time Satan will be imprisoned. He will be bound, according to the Bible, for 1,000 years. Verse 3 tells us that the length of time that Satan will not be able to go out and to deceive the nations of the world, as he has done in past history, as he is presently doing now. Verse 4, the length of time those martyred saints will reign with Christ, we're told. In verse 5, we're given the length of time the unbelieving will wait for their resurrection at the end of the millennium. And verse 6 gives us the length of time those that are in the first resurrection will reign with Christ. And then in verse 7, we're given the length of time that passes until Satan is released for his final rebellion upon the earth. Now, the Bible uses various names when identifying the millennial reign of Christ. It uses the words, the kingdom of heaven, in Matthew chapter 3, verses 2, and chapter 8, verse 11. So when we're speaking of the millennium, even though that Latin term for 1,000 years is not there in the Bible itself as that word millennium, but is referred to with these other names, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God in Mark chapter 1 and verse 15, times of refreshing, Acts 3, 19, times of restoration, Acts 3, 21, the day of Jesus Christ, Philippians 1 and 6, the fullness of the times, Ephesians 1 and 10, and the world to come in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 5. Even though that word millennium is not biblical term, or it's not written in the Bible, it's become the popular way that we refer to the future thousand-year reign of Christ upon the earth. Now, you know that in the Bible, the word Trinity is not there. But we know that God is the triune God. It's recorded in the book of Genesis in the very first chapter when God said, "Let us," plural, meaning God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, "let us make man in our," notice the plurality of the word us and our. So even though the word Trinity is not in the Bible, we know that the concept of the triune God is there. The word rapture is not written in the Bible, but we know that from the Greek word and the Latin words that are used that refers to a snatching away or a catching away. And so we use the term of the rapture to speak about when the church will leave this earth someday. And when you come to the word millennium, which deals with the thousand-year reign of Christ, that word is not in the Bible, but we see it in all of these other various references that I just gave us a few moments ago. Alva J. McLean describes the millennium this way. The coming of the millennium will not be a gradual and imperceptible process, but sudden, supernatural, and apparent to the whole world. It will be preceded by a series of worldwide catastrophic events in the form of wars, plagues, famines, and cosmic disturbances. It will be ushered in by a special manifestation of God and His glory. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 40, in verse 5, we read the words, "The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." Notice that phrase, "all flesh shall see it together." By the way, as I mentioned here a few minutes ago about these worldwide cataclysmic events in the forms of wars and plagues and famines and cosmic disturbances, I was reading early this morning on one of the later news reports of yesterday or today, where that Bill Gates has already predicted the next pandemic that is going to hit the world. And he called it bioterrorism. And so we realize that we live in a very fallen world, a world that is filled with all kinds of plagues and diseases and pestilence, and those are going to increase in enormity during the days of the tribulation. Now, the millennium will not be in heaven. The millennium, the thousand-year reign, will be upon this earth under the reign of a righteous and a just king. David Jeremiah said, basic structures and institutions of society will probably continue. He says, speaking of that day, he says, lifestyles and patterns with individuals manifesting their distinct personalities will remain. People will eat, sleep, earn a living, marry, have children, and finally die. There will be cities, farms, schools, industries, and stores. The difference will consist in the presence of proper, enjoyable relationships among people and especially toward God. Righteousness will prevail and people will think and converse about God. And in this lesson for this evening, we examine 12 distinct features of this coming period of time called the millennium or the millennial reign of Christ when his kingdom is set up upon this earth. In the book of Psalm chapter 2, they saw the anticipation of this kingdom that was coming. In Psalm 2:6, the psalmist said, "Yet I've set my king on my holy hill of Zion in Jerusalem, giving him the earth as his possession. I will declare," verse 7 up there. I've got different verses than they've got up there, but they're different translations. "I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, 'You are my son.'" Verse 8. "Today I have begotten you." And verse 8 and 9 says, "Ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel." Now Daniel, when we studied the book of Daniel, Daniel saw vivid images of this coming kingdom of God. If you'll remember, he saw the whole of history in that image of that human statue, and it was representing the Gentile kingdoms of this world succeeding one after another. We saw that in Daniel chapter 2. He saw the kingdom of God arriving and consuming all the kingdoms of mankind and presided over by one like the Son of Man, Daniel 2:44, Daniel 7:13. Isaiah also foresaw the birth of the king upon whose shoulders the government of the earth would rest and whose kingdom there will be no end in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Zechariah foresaw over in the Old Testament the coming of the king who is going to reign over all the earth, Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 9. And all of these prophecies, they are summed up by what John sees in this vision. And back in Revelation chapter 11, 15, John said, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. Well, another thing we see this evening, we see another distinct feature of this coming millennium, not only the anticipation of the kingdom that those Old Testament prophets saw, but we see the coronation of the king and the purpose of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is for Satan to be defeated as a ruler in this present world, 1 John 5:19, and also for Christ to be established as the King of Kings and as the Lord of Lords. Revelation chapter 19, we looked at last week, verse 16. Zechariah over in the Old Testament saw both things happening in one vision. You can find that in Zechariah chapter 14, verses 3 and verse 9. And this is the consummation of what the angel Gabriel told young Mary concerning her future son, that God would give him the throne of David, and of his kingdom there will be no end, found in Luke chapter 1, verses 32 and 33. Now as king, Christ is going to rule righteously and justly on behalf of all people. In fact, Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 3 and 4, and I think we have that scripture up here on the screen. Chapter 11 in the book of Isaiah, chapter 3 and 4, Isaiah said, "His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears." Notice in verse 4, do we have that, Martha? "But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay," notice, "the wicked." Well, there's another distinct feature that we see, thirdly, of this thousand-year reign of Christ upon the earth, and it is the imprisonment or the incarceration of Satan himself. when John had this vision that God had given to him, he sees Satan being bound by an angel and thrown into a bottomless pit in the core of the earth for 1,000 years, so that he should deceive the nations no longer until those 1,000 years were finished. And that's in Revelation chapter 20 for this evening, there in verse 3. Satan will be bound at the beginning when Christ comes back and starts that millennial kingdom. Satan is going to be bound during that period of time. And then later, he will be released for a little while, according to Revelation chapter 20 and verses 7 through 10. Dr. Henry Morris, who has written extensively on end times and the book of Revelation, he says somewhere deep in the center of the earth, a prison cell has been reserved in the remotest recesses of the bottomless pit. Dr. Morris says it's located at the very middle of the earth. One could not fall any deeper down. Such a place will be Satan's confine during the millennium, as far removed from human beings as is possible to be on this planet. And for 1,000 years, when Christ is reigning during that millennial period of time, Satan's powers are going to be negated. This world will see for the first time since back in the Garden of Eden what a difference that the absence of evil can make. And so we see the incarceration of Satan during that period of time. Another distinct feature we see of the millennium is the administration of David. Christ is going to rule during the 1,000 year through the resurrected David. King David is going to rule. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 9 says, "But they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up for them." Now, when Jeremiah wrote those words, those words were written 400 years after David had already died, so Jeremiah could not have been referring to David's first reign as the king. The book of Ezekiel and Hosea also see a role for David in this coming messianic kingdom. You can find that over in Ezekiel 34. Verses 23 to 24, chapter 37 of Ezekiel, verses 24 and 25, and then Hosea, chapter 3, verse 5. Dr. Walbord, in his commentary on the book of Revelation, says this: "In the light of many prophecies which promise saints the privilege of reigning with Christ, it would seem most logical that David the king, raised from the dead, should be given a place of preeminence in the Davidic kingdom and of the millennial reign of Christ." And so, the next feature we see about this 1,000-year reign of Christ will be the participation of the saints. Now, John saw resurrected saints who were reigning with Christ during this 1,000 years. That's in our text for this evening, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4 and verse 6. Daniel saw that the saints of the Most High would receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever. Daniel 7:18 says, "But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever." Now, Christ promised his 12 disciples that in the regeneration, which is speaking about this time, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, "You will have followed me. You will sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Matthew chapter 19, verse 28, Jesus speaks about that, how that those 12 disciples will sit on thrones and judge the nation of Israel. And then the saints who accompany Christ, that's us, in the clouds at his second coming, according to Revelation chapter 19, verse 14 and verse 19, speaks about we are comprising this army coming with Christ, that we will be assigned positions of responsibility for helping to govern during that 1,000-year reign upon the earth. So we see the participation as one of the distinct features of the days of the 1,000-year reign of Christ. The saints will be reigning. Then we see another distinct feature of this 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth, the elimination of war. One of the most amazing characteristics during this 1,000-year time will be the absence of war, the absence of conflict, not only among humans, but as well within the animal kingdom itself. The prophet Micah pictured every person sitting under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid. Micah chapter 4, verse 4. Isaiah saw in Isaiah 19, 23, Isaiah saw a highway from Egypt to Assyria, and the Assyrians will come into Egypt, and the Egyptian into Assyria, and the Egyptians will serve with the Assyrians. Once enemies, Egypt, Assyria, and Israel will be on peaceful terms, and there will be peace, if you can only imagine, among the Arabs and the Jews, putting an end to the relentless conflict that they've had since the days of Ishmael and Isaac. Isaiah also saw peace in the animal kingdom. We see that in the song, Peace in the Valley. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6, 7, and 8, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And the Bible says here, and a little child shall lead them. Look at verse 7. What Isaiah continues, the cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Notice verse 8. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. Now, if you can only imagine a period of time upon this earth when the animal kingdom, the plant kingdom, humanity, there will be peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Notice another feature during this 1,000-year reign of Christ. It'll be the realization of prosperity without spending on armaments, without spending on all of these munitions and ammunition out there. Money will be reinvested in economies around the world. The millennium will be a time of unparalleled prosperity. Notice Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 1. Isaiah said, the wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Notice he also said in Isaiah 41 and verse 18, I will open rivers in desolate heights and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. According to Mark Hitchcock, who has done extensive research on end time events, he says the millennial kingdom will have no need for rescue missions, welfare programs, food stamps, or relief agencies. The world will flourish under the hand of the King of Heaven. And we can find those references in Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Joel and Amos and Micah and Zechariah. All of those Old Testament books and prophecies tell us of this realization of the prosperous time that will be during this 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth. There's another interesting feature that speaks about this 1,000-year reign. It's the integration of a time of holiness. Everything about this 1,000 years will be holy. The land, the king, the capital city, the temple, the redeemed subjects of the king. There will be, get this, there will be non-Christians born during this millennium. This 1,000-year reign, how does that happen? We'll be in our redeemed bodies. Well, if you'll remember, coming out of the tribulation, those that did not take the mark of the beast nor worship his image, those that make it through the tribulation still living will go into this 1,000 years of peace on earth in their natural bodies. They will bear children during that 1,000-year reign. Obviously, they're going to be living longer than they've ever lived during this period of time. There will be non-Christians who will be born during the millennium. The sin nature of man will still exist, but even they will conform to the holy standards of Christ the King. Notice Zechariah chapter 8, verse 3. Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion, that means Jerusalem, and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Look at Isaiah 4, chapter 3. Isaiah also speaks of this time, and it shall come to pass that he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy, everyone who is recorded among the living in Jerusalem. And according to Zechariah, even horses and pots and pans will be affected by the holiness of the Lord. Notice in Zechariah 14, verse 20 and 21, in that day, holiness to the Lord shall be engraved on the bales of the horses. The pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yes, every pot in Jerusalem and Judah shall be holiness to the Lord of hosts. Everyone who sacrifices shall come and take them and cook in them. In that day, there shall no longer be a Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. The integration of holiness. Can you imagine? You and I have lived all of our lives in a day of lawlessness and wickedness and evil that's going on in the world today. I saw on the news this afternoon a hijacking down in Texas. Three hooded, masked people tried to hold up a car. They didn't get it done. I guess when they stopped the car and asked for the keys, I guess the guy thought he was bigger than they were. And I think when he stepped out of the car, they began to flee with their guns. Well, folks, let me tell you, during the day of the 1,000-year reign of Christ, there's going to be peace on earth. We hear that song, let there be peace on earth and let it begin in me. I'm grateful, aren't you, for that day that's coming? Well, another distinct feature of that day and the 1,000-year reign of Christ will be the prolongation of life, consistent with abundance. Consistent with prosperity and peace throughout the world, human health and longevity will also benefit. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer and the tongue of the dumb sing. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 5 and 6 speaks about, for waters shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Let me tell you, there's coming a day when people will not say, I'm sick. Isaiah 33, 24. Health is going to be restored. Jeremiah 30, verse 17. And as this result of increased and better health, people are going to live longer lives, those that are in their natural bodies. It appears that the lifespan will be in the hundreds rather than it is like it is today. A person who will die during that time at the age of 100 will be considered a child, according to Isaiah chapter 65, verses 20. And those that survive the tribulation and come out of it will repopulate the earth. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 19 and 20 says, I will multiply them and they shall not diminish. I will also glorify them and they shall not be small. there's another distinct thing that happens during this thousand-year reign. We see the celebration of joy. When Isaac Watts wrote the song Joy to the World, how many of you love Joy to the World? Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Let me tell you, when he wrote that song over 250 years ago, he didn't intend for that to be a Christmas song. That wasn't why Isaac Watts wrote that. He wrote it to announce the second coming of Christ and his kingdom and rule upon this earth. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. No more let sin and sorrows grow. He rules the world with truth and grace. Let me tell you, that will be a song of the millennium one of these days. Isaiah is only one of the many Old Testament prophets who saw the place of joy that is coming one of these days in this kingdom up on the earth. I'm grateful tonight to know that we have the consolation of this wonderful celebration of joy that is coming one of these days. But Isaiah 2 and 2 and Micah 4 and 1 speak about it. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days. This is referring to the thousand-year reign of Christ, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains. And then notice what he continues, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Notice what Micah 4, 1 says. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and peoples shall flow to it. You see, Isaiah saw the gates of Jerusalem are going to be opened around the clock with people from all nations streaming in and out of the city to worship. And those who refuse to worship, according to Isaiah 60, verse 11 and 12, shall perish, and those nations shall be utterly ruined. And it will not be Jews only that are worshiping God, but they will be leading in the worship, according to Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 23. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 23, thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days, 10 men from every language of the nations shall grasp the sleeve of a Jewish man, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. And then we see another thing here about the continuation of this millennial reign of Christ. At the end of those 1,000 years, what's going to happen? Christ is going to deliver up the kingdom to God the Father. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. Let me tell you, the earthly form of the kingdom will merge into this eternal rule of God in the New Jerusalem. In that sense, Daniel was right when he saw the kingdom as an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 14. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. Let me tell you, the millennial kingdom will be earthly for 1,000 years and merge into eternity forever and ever and ever and ever. What are we going to do in that 1,000-year reign of Christ? We're going to have responsibilities. We'll rule, we'll reign with Christ. Those 12 disciples will be judges of the nations of Israel. There are all kinds of things that God has prepared during this time of peace on earth, during this time of holiness, Satan being bound, somewhere in the core of the earth for a 1,000-year reign. And so in chapter 20 of the book of Revelation, verses 1 through 7, this is what this chapter is all about, this millennial reign of Christ upon the earth one of these days. Aren't you grateful to know what's going to happen one of these days? Aren't you grateful there's a better day coming? There's a great day coming, as the old Brahman hymnal says, there's a great day coming by and by when the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? Would you stand as we pray together? Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to be here tonight. As I look around, oh God, I thank you for this group of people who have the desire to learn more, to grow more, to study more about what the book of Revelation is all about and what is coming to this earth one of these days. Thank you for the wonderful hope of heaven, for the wonderful hope of the millennial kingdom that will merge into all eternity, where we will be given responsibilities. And Father, whatever you have planned for us is far too beyond our understanding. It's far too great for our finite minds to try to comprehend the incomprehensible, which we now cannot even begin to fathom or imagine or comprehend. Thank you, God, for the living hope of the living Savior that gives us a brighter outlook on the days to come. Father, as I look around at a world that is forever looking for a golden age, a utopia, thinking that the world will get better and better and it will usher in a time when there will be great happiness. Little do they know how tragically wrong they're going to be when they see the days of the tribulation and all of the devastation and all of the catastrophic events and all of the wars and the plagues and the diseases and the pestilences and all of the things that all of that encompasses. Oh God, thank you that we as Christians have a great hope to be excited about and to know there is a greater day coming by and by. Father God, I thank you for your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you lead us into all truth. And I pray tonight, if there's someone here that needs to make a decision for you, Lord, speak to their heart, I pray, in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen.